Carrie and Tommy give each other the gift of laughter. Most days. If you want to give mum a great gift this Mother's Day, send some love with a fragrance like Issey Miyake for Women 100ml for only $79.99 from Chemist Warehouse.
We're joined by Birds of Tokyo.
They recorded us a really special live isolation of their hit Two of Us, which is, of course, from their brand new album, Human Design.
I will always be with you, got your name.
G'day, boys.
Hello.
That song gives me chills. It's a very emotional song, and I feel like there's little parts of all of us in that song. Ian, I know it's a particularly personal song for you. At what point do you go from writing cathartically about things that are going on in your life, for you, a marriage breakdown, to the point where you go, actually, I'm okay with the world hearing this?
Oh, that whole process, whenever you're talking about, you know, a bit of real talk, I guess, that takes time. And that's maybe why it took us sort of 2.5 years to sort of really get the record right and get it completed. But, you know, it's all good. At the back end of things, you know, people are just hearing this for the first time. But, you know, gratefully we've all moved on and we're all sort of past this record, so to speak. And we're a lot better. We're doing a lot better as a band and as people.
Has there been times when you guys have overshared? Because I know often if you're creating and it's you guys sounding off each other, surely you come to a consensus and sometimes you forget that there are real people in the real world that are involved.
I think it's such a fine balance. I think when you're trying to create something real and something kind of open and honest, you've got to do that dance as songwriters about running the line of exposing too much and letting people too far in or whatever, or do you just tell it like it is and that's what actually helps you get through it and that's what helps you accept terms and that's what, you know, people connect with. I don't know. We spoke a hell of a lot about that as dudes making this record because we are a bunch of dudes that overshare between us, but collectively I think we play our cards pretty tight for our share.
Is it hard, Adam, for you, like watching your mate go through that pain, then watching it come through music and then working out how to guide and encourage and how much to encourage Ian to share when you can hear how brilliant it is but also know the pain behind it?
Well, yeah, and I guess it's the it's like the question just before. It's like, and it's the same thing with, I guess, producing any songs or records or whatever, really. It's like, how much human do you leave into it, you know, or leave into it, and how much do you sort of leave out of it to, you know, enough to get the message and the sincerity across, but not so much that it becomes just a bit schlocky or too much or something. And like Kenny said, I think we get the balance right with this stuff. You know, it's our job, yeah, to balance the truth of you know, real life and stories, but you know, also equally wrap them in a poetic way and a way that other people can identify with. I mean, if you're too specific with it, you know, I mean, that, I guess that Good Lord was fairly specific, I guess, but it's still relatable, you know. So it's just an act of juggling, you know, those dynamics, really, and it's different for every song, really.
It's when you start listing your ex's full name, address, phone number, that you realise you might be diving a bit too deep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Way too deep.
I do want to ask you guys a quick Zoom question, because although people listen to this audio, we're also Zooming, which is the new way of the world. And, Adam, we can see into your room. Ian, you have a virtual background up. Is this because your place of residence is a cesspit?
It's an absolute pigsty. Like, thank God for filters. Like, nobody needs to see this. Like, how many weeks are we in? And you can see it.
I'm finding it really weird because I'm speaking to people who I only ever speak to in a professional sense. What is that, Adam, that you've got there? Is that a teddy or a dog or an elephant? What is that?
Well, I have hundreds of toys for my dogs. So this is one of the spare rooms downstairs where I'm sitting, and all it's like the graveyard. It's like the graveyard for all their petties with all the eyes been.
I was going to say it's terrifying with no eyes.
None of them have eyes.
Does your dog chew the eyes out, or do you rip the eyes off to make him not feel bad about going them?
No, one of them she loves the eyes. I don't know why. She just does, and that's what you do with the stepbikes. They live down here.
But I'm finding, for example, Waleed from our show on the project, the other day we did a Zoom meeting, and a couple of minutes in, Pete Helly was like, Waleed, are you in bed? And he was genuinely tucked up in bed having a meeting. And I was like, that's not the time to be in bed. And I wondered, do you guys have the spot you go when you're about to do something professional, like obviously talk to us, or have you given us the spot where you don't really care and you're happy for us to just catch your, you know, pants off, chilling out?
Pants off.
Well, not pants off, but, you know, trackies on.
I'm not wearing any pants. as we speak.
I mean, it was dressed up as something else, but in essence, the question Carrie just asked you was, are you guys wearing pants?
Yeah. And I answered, no, I'm not wearing pants.
Adam's giving us a bit of bare knee.
A bit of knee.
Ooh, hello.
How are you guys finding self-isolation? Are you finding the time on your own and the downtime easy, you know, you're dealing with easily, or is it quite challenging for you?
Oh, to be honest, it hasn't been too bad. It's been maybe for guys like us, and, you know, we're all individually, we'll take it different ways, but we constantly feel like we're on the move and away from home and all that sort of stuff. So I guess the silver lining here is we're at home and with our people, which has been good. It's like a forced holiday, I guess. I mean, no one wants a holiday like this. It can be a bit dreary, but yeah, it's been cool. It's been cool having time at home.
What about you, Adam? Have you picked up any new skills or anything random that you started doing in ISO?
I've started painting quite a lot. I've wanted to do it for a long time, and I've never got around to it. I'm terrible at it.
You're not terrible at it. You're actually quite a good artist. I've got a funny story here. Adam's dad, Kev, he started painting in his later years, and he got in trouble by his wife, Adam's mum, for constantly painting ladies' bums.
No, it was my mum's sister's bums, my auntie's.
Oh, that's right.
And he got in the doghouse for painting painting their butts.
How? I'm assuming the bum was attached to the auntie's body. Your mum didn't just pick it out of a lineup.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know what inspired it, but he's fascinated by, I guess, the curvature of older women. So he decided to paint them all.
But he wasn't getting to them to pose Titanic style or anything. Like, he was just observing them, was he? And then going and painting.
Yeah, it was like sort of like a series of pictures or whatever, but like sitting on fences and stuff like that.
They were really good. They were great.
The butts or the paintings?
How did they feel about themselves when they saw what they looked like from behind?
I don't know. You know what? I'm going to call them after this interview and ask them, because I've never actually found out if they've seen them or not. So that's a bloody good question. I'm going to check in on this.
So do you have a similar series planned? Are you going to pick another body part? Or?
No, I've been painting apples for some reason. Heaps and heaps and heaps of apples. I'm on my, like, 25th apple or something at the moment.
See? Curve too. It's very similar. Next it'll be peaches and it's all a slippery slope.
Yeah, it starts with a fruit bowl, then the apple, next thing, bum. There you go. That's how it happens.
You're right.
Boys, this is a pretty big gear change, but I'm very interested in your thoughts on it. I feel like there's been so much chat about the government's handling of this crisis that the arts has largely been forgotten. I work as a stand-up comedian, and I think the support to theatre staff and the like has been absolutely piss weak. How do you find the support in the music industry has been?
It's terrible.
Pretty rubbish, to be honest.
It's disappointing. You know, I was having some chats with some of our sound sort of friends only about 20 minutes ago, actually, and checking in, and they're not doing well, man. They're really, really not doing well. It's really quite hard to watch, given that, you know, I guess everyone sort of feels and I guess looks at us and people like in our world, like you were saying, and thinks, you know, we sort of live in this creative bubble, but it's sort of like, you know, I guess to a lot of people they don't sort of consider it essential. But then when you take, as we all say, when you take away comedy, you take away music, you take away, you know, spoken word, books, all this sort of stuff. What are we left with as a society? What do you do with the money that you earn? You sit and look at a goddamn wall in your house and do nothing. And so that's not being supported and funded really at all. I know the Victorian government's just announced a small amount of funding for it yesterday or so, which is great. But it feels like this whole industry has been completely left behind.
It really sucks, especially for people like yourselves, comedians or us. As soon as that thing came in, the public space ban, effectively all our work just went out the window. That's our arena. That's where we go to work. And effectively, it's all been put off. We've had to cancel and postpone about 3 tours, move things. And because of that, the rescheduling and all that sort of stuff, it's basically we have to knock everything into 2021. So for everybody else who's doing that and sort of circling the unknown as to when things are going to change, it's pretty heavy.
Oh, that's a long time between drinks. Not for you guys rescheduling to, I think it's January, February, you're going to be bringing your show with the 50-piece symphony orchestra, which is incredible. But as you say, that wasn't the plan. It's a long time from now for people earning and all of that. And I think, you know, the best thing we can all do is when you do come out, support, come out when artists are ready to perform and when we're in the space where we can watch live music again. And, yeah, just put our money there and support as much as we can. I know I'm so excited to come and see you guys. We both have been great fans of your work and we really appreciate your time today and we hope you get through the next few weeks okay as well.
Awesome.
Absolutely. And we feel the same for our industry and for the arts at large, comedians, any performers. I mean, it's just, you know, hopefully you all get through it and when it comes good, people engage again and then this thing sort of recovers, you know.
We're going to need it more than ever. Thank you so much, Adam. Thanks, Ian. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Absolute pleasure. Good See you, legends.
Thanks,
good luck
guys.
With the
really appreciate it.
Cheers, legends.
Bye.
The Gary and Tommy Catch Up podcast is done for the day. So now's the perfect time to get your mum a present for Mother's Day. Send your love to mum with a fragrance like Giorgio Armani C 100ml for just $149.99 from Chemist Warehouse.